Here in Utah, there's often a warm before the storm, a day when a south breeze makes everything pleasant and mild just before a significant snowstorm sweeps in. It's possible Utah's economy may be experiencing a warm and optimistic interlude before a downturn. That's what a couple of state legislators, a Democrat and a Republican, are worried about as the state tries to restructure its tax system. Can we get that done before storms dampen Utah's economic vitality? This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. The 2019 legislative session ended without a significant restructuring of Utah's sales tax system. There's agreement on the general goals, broadening the base of goods and services subject to the sales tax, but the clock ran out on the session before the details could be negotiated. State Senator Luz Escamilla, a Democrat, and Representative Robert Spendlove, a Republican, presented their thoughts on where the process is going now when they spoke to the March meeting of the Utah Foundation Board of Trustees. The prospect of a large surplus of state revenue made thinking about tax changes easier during the session, but Representative Spendlove, who served on Governor John Huntsman's staff the last time this happened, tells a cautionary tale.
I'm sure you've all heard about the enormous revenue surplus that we saw at the state level, started off at $1.3 billion and then was revised down to $1.1 billion. Excuse me, as good as that sounds, it actually got us really nervous. Guess when the last time we saw that level of unexpected revenue increase happen in our state? It was 2008.
Yeah, 2008.
Leading into the Great Recession. So when we saw that, and what we've seen, that one revenue estimate was kind of a spike up. And we looked at that and we said, we're seeing history repeating itself.
Concern about Utah's economic future didn't make negotiating specifics of tax reform any easier. Battle lines were being drawn as the session ended, with interest groups and lobbyists defending their specific concerns. But Senator Escamilla says everything's got to be on the table, including the long list of items that are exempt from taxation today.
We had hundreds of them. Every session we're doing tax exemptions. So if we're going to have these conversations, let's have the whole conversation. And then with the structural piece, I would love to share. There are $2.4 billion that we get a year versus $4.5 on income tax, and they're supposed to be stable. The idea is that if you have them stable, it provides stability for the budget. So it's how do we get to that, and it has to change in the rates, it has to change in the base as well. But I think the housing and real estate were the ones that I think need more conversations to make sure we're not, so like plumbing, is it electricity? I mean, then how many taxes are you going to be paying? I think the legislature has good representation on developers that are very concerned and brought some of those concerns to the table. If you look at this, for some of the concerns were, for example, healthcare. And people say, well, I think most people agree you should not be taxing healthcare except cosmetic, right? But then define cosmetic healthcare. I mean, is it someone that had an accident burned their face? Is that cosmetic? I mean, actually, it depends on the definition. So we were looking into those definitions, and that's where it's going to, the devil's in the detail is what is cosmetic. The other one is it insurance, for example. There's this bill proposed, and again, these are just ideas, but the idea of medical insurance premium to the consumer of 1%. I was reading, I think it's like $65 million. I mean, you start looking to those numbers and specifics, and you realize that it's difficult, and there will be impacts, but everything has to be at the table. So it's fair, because right now it's not fair. I mean, when you realize who's being taxed and who's not, there's not a policy-driven, you know, public policy decision why. It's just someone had really, like the sacred cows, or someone had a really good lobbyist and made sure that was not in the books. So that needs to change as well.
It's difficult to predict how much a given change in policy might affect state revenue. Research analyst Christopher Collard was the principal author of Utah Foundation's report on sales taxes last year. He says there's just no good information on many tax exemptions.
Out of those 90 exemptions, 20 of them we have absolutely no data on. We have no idea how much money we're actually losing to those exemptions. On another 25 of those exemptions, we have poor data, meaning our estimates are are based on data that's not all that certain. So in many ways, we don't really know how much money the state is losing due to these tax exemptions.
What might be easier to enact and enforce, Collard says, are broad categories rather than narrow exemptions. That could help avoid the problem of tax pyramiding, requiring a home builder, for example, to pay taxes on what goes into construction, lumber and shingles and contractors, and then taxing the whole house a second time when it's sold. The idea is to tax business outputs, what they charge their customers, rather than the inputs they buy from vendors.
There's already a sales tax exemption for nonprofits. That can occur mostly in two ways. One is there's a certificate that essentially authenticates the purchaser as someone who does not need to pay the sales tax, or businesses could also request an reimbursement from the state tax commission for products that they paid a sales tax on. This is a solution already in place for nonprofits, and it could merely be expanded to include all businesses purchasing business inputs. So good purchases for resale are currently exempt. It would essentially be using a similar idea, just expanded to all businesses purchasing any business input. This solution does add a level of additional complexity on the administration back end, but again, it's something that already exists and is in place, and it might need to also be coupled with additional audit measures to make sure that everybody's complying and not misusing these certificates or these reimbursements.
And yes, it's been hard so far to enact significant changes in Utah's tax policies, but Representative Spindlove says it's possible with persistence. He was on Governor John Huntsman's staff in the past decade when the sales tax was reduced on food and the change to a flat 5% income tax was put in place.
Year one, they left them out of the legislature. Year two, they pulled the bill because it was such a disaster. By year three, every single member of the legislature, Republican and Democrat, voted for it. I have that the House vote framed on my wall.
The prospect of a downturn in the overall economy adds some urgency to the process. The state of Utah might be well served to make hay or do tax reform while the sun is shining. The Utah Foundation research report, The Everyday Tax, Sales Taxation in Utah, is available on our website at utahfoundation.org. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit research group funded by business, philanthropic foundations, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to produce objective, thorough, and well-reasoned research and analysis that promotes the effective use of public resources, a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. Utah Foundation seeks to help decision makers and citizens understand and address complex issues. Utah Foundation also offers constructive guidance to improve governmental policies, programs, and structures. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.